Welcome to Personnel Matters, the official podcast of the Air Force Personnel Center, hosted by Major General Jefferson O'Donnell.
Welcome to Personnel Matters. I am Major General Jefferson O'Donnell, commander of AFPC and your podcast host. I'd like to welcome back your Air Force's Personnel Center senior enlisted leader, Chief Ludd. Welcome back, Chief.
Thank you, General. It's great to be here.
Now, we're here to provide information and updates on the programs and processes at the Air Force's Personnel Center that guide your career. This podcast is also a direct line where you can reach out to me with questions, concerns, or suggestions. AFPC is responsible for three mission essential functions: casualty assistance, personnel accountability, and sourcing the warfighter. And our focus today is on that third function, sourcing the warfighter, and specifically the personnel readiness that makes it possible.
You know, General, I can't think of a more important topic for us to discuss today. A lot of times when I think about my deployments, I think about, the camaraderie, getting together. I always think about a lot of the toughest experiences I've had in my career were on a deployment. Some of the most rewarding experiences I've had over my career, coming back from a deployment. And there's nothing beats that feeling of coming back after mission accomplishment. But when I think about how did I prepare myself and prepare my family, my mind goes straight to, right after 9/11, got orders to said location, had my bag and everything like that, all my soaps, shampoos, and everything like that you need. But I'm going to a pretty big location. I'm not going to need that. No sooner than we got on the ground there, within 24 hours, we're heading into another classified location that was incredibly bare. And I really was glad that I had all of those things that were in my mobility bag that for the longest time I thought was overkill. So it was really good. And then we didn't have comms to reach back to our family and things like that. So Krista and the girls and my boys, they were kind of on their own to take care of themselves for about 8 months, and was glad that we had them taken care of, and we thought about that things ahead of time. So it's not something that we do just because it's a drill to make sure that you're able to count your socks. You need to make sure that you have your stuff together because you just don't know the environment you're going to be in, and you want to make sure your family's taken care of while you're gone.
Chief, I agree. And, one of the priorities right now from the Second War is readiness. In my 30 years, I'm sure yours as well, it's always been a priority that we're ready to go to fight a conflict or deter whatever our role is to deploy, even if it's an exercise. And so I think back to one time I was in an organization as the director of operations, and the commander was noticing that our airmen weren't taking it seriously. So one night he had us do the bag drag and didn't tell anybody, but we went through the deployment facility, and then the doors opened and there was a running C-130 on the ramp, and it was pitch black outside, and we marched out, loaded up, and took off. And everyone was thinking two things. One, where are we going? What just happened? And oh no, I didn't pack for this because I just kind of, right, thought it was just an exercise. And so we flew around for a few hours and then landed and fortunately at the same location, and then there was a debrief about, now if you were a little bit scared about what just happened, then that means you're not ready. And you know what? The Air Force provides us with lots of resources as individual airmen to be ready. We've got checklists. We do exercises. It's not hard. And so we just need to make sure that it's a priority for us to do that. Well, for us today, since the mission of the United States Air Force is to fly, fight, and win, and General Wilsbach, our Chief of Staff of the Air Force, has emphasized as a priority is to fly, fix, and fight. And so America's airmen and guardians accomplish the impossible every day, bringing air security, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, rapid global mobility, global strike, and command and control anywhere, anytime. So to talk about the fourth generation today and what we do at AFPC, I'd like to introduce a key member of the AFPC team whose focus is fourth generation for the Department of the Air Force. Mr. Mike Mongold served as a pilot for 26 years and was an AFPC division chief in deployments as well as assignments. After retiring from the Air Force, he joined civil service in 2020, and we're so glad that he continues to serve in the capacity that he's in. He's been AFPC's MAGCOM Force Generation Liaison Officer Scheduling, as well as Operations Branch Chief, and now he is our Force Generation Division Chief. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you, sir. It's a privilege to be here.
Now, currently we have about 321,000 airmen in the Department of the Air Force, with more than 9,000 serving in a deployed location at this moment. Can you tell us about Force Generation Division?
Yes, sir. The Force Generation Division's roots go all the way back to the Air Expeditionary Force Center. The EAF Center was established at Langley Air Force Base in the late 1990s. After 9/11, with the huge ops tempo associated with Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom, the center was responsible for all the movement of personnel in relation to those deployments. In 2007, that mission was moved to the Air Force Personnel Center to assume all responsibilities and functions of what the AEF Center used to perform. The goal was to combine some of the synergies of the personnel assignment actions along with deployment. So even though, interesting enough, even though it's only been about 20 years since the AEF Center transferred those functions, it's not uncommon for us still to be referred to as the AEF Center in some circles.
So specifically now, the Force Generation Division, which is called, is responsible for sourcing the Global Force Management Requirements for the Air Force, or GFM, and that supports the National Military Strategy and the National Defense Strategy. How does that play into to our requirements?
Yes, sir. So we work hand-in-hand with Air Combat Command as a conventional force coordinator, as well as Headquarters Air Force on the A3 staff, to source and validate all joint staff requirements to support of the combatant commander. This includes our rotation requirements. So we have about 18,000 rotation requirements. We source our airmen per year. That's down from a high of about 27,000 during GY. We also have time-sensitive emergent requirements that come up, such as what's going on right now in Operation Southern Spear, which is in the Southcom AOR. But generally, historically, we've seen about 3,000 to 4,000 additional emergent taskings that add on to our annual taskings. And certainly, the entire system relies on accurate information, both the personnel and the capabilities they bring. This allows us to fulfill requirements validated by the Joint Staff and ensures we directly support Secretary's priority on readiness. Now, there is a misconception that AFPC Center, the Force Generation Cell Division, that we source every single airman for every single deployment. That is not the case. We source 90% to the UTC, the unit type code. Those UTCs are filled by the squadron commanders with their assigned personnel. So, in fact, AFPC, the Force Generation Cell, we source about 10% to the face for the airmen.
And I know there's a lot of great work that happens in coordination with the commands and backs and forths to work, you know, with those sourcing. And so we do, your team provides great support for me to engage with senior leaders across the Air Force to make sure they're aware of the status of our sourcing. So
absolutely,
thank
sir.
You for that.
And that's some great information. And I tell you, when I think about individual readiness, it doesn't matter if you're part of a UTC or you're getting into direct tasking. Making sure that your readiness indicators are accurate. And Mr. Mongold, if you could you tell us why AEF indicators and DAV codes are so important?
Absolutely, Chief. The AEFI, or the AFWERGEN Employment Force Indicator, assigns an airman to a specific phase in AFWERGEN cycle, either Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, or Delta. If that's blank, it can cause a surprise deployment for the individual, because the system itself shows that the individual is available for tasking. It is the responsibility of both the commander and the airman to ensure that the AEFI is updated within 15 days of an airman being assigned to a new unit. Similarly, the DAV code, or the Deployment Availability Code, that lists any kind of restrictions or limitations on when an airman can deploy or where they can deploy to due to medical, legal, or other administrative reasons. If either of those codes are inaccurate, it can certainly impact our downrange commanders with a gap in personnel and impact our mission. So our airmen, we encourage our airmen and their supervisors to talk to the UDMs, the unit deployment managers, and verify that their codes are correct.
Now, along those lines, we rely on a lot of systems and change on our processes. And so, Mike, what improvements have we recently made, and what's ahead for our processes related to Force Generation?
Yes, sir. We are heavily invested in technology, both for external stakeholders as well as our internal users. Externally, the AFWERGEN Connect application, which contains all the capabilities of the previous commander's toolkit, it replaced as a tool for the commanders and unit deployment managers. In addition to capturing and tracking tasks a deploying airman must accomplish, the tool displays each MAGCOM's readiness and provides leaders at all levels the ability to be able to drill down to identify any kind of discrepancies, allowing the unit to fix them faster and enhancing overall readiness. We also continue to look for ways to enhance our capabilities on the platform. We recently rolled out the civilian deployment module on the AFWERGEN application. And then for the first time, this allows the commander as well as the deploying civilian to track all the requirements in preparation for a deployment, and which were previously unavailable in one location. For our internal users, our schedulers, who are responsible for sourcing the UTCs and the airmen, as we previously talked about, we recently replaced a 20-year-old antiquated system with a fully integrated AI-enhanced sourcing tool, which provides direct feeds from all the joint authoritative systems. This has greatly increased our sourcing agility and accuracy in supporting the warfighter.
Now, the Total Force Service Center we have here operates a call center 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 361 days a year, where personnel experts are available to support you and provide answers to your questions. A frequent question we are asked about deployments is, why are they getting notified only weeks or even days notice before a deployment tasking?
Yes, sir. And we've received this question also from the field, from the airmen themselves or their commanders. And we understand this is a very stressful time, not only for the airmen, but for their families to get those short notice taskings. Generally, a short notice tasking is driven by a late MAGCOM reclamas, or in fact, many times we'll see the same requirements, we'll get reclamed multiple times, which will further shorten the timeline for the airmen. But from time to time, we get the short notice request for forces, or we get a SEC war or a presidential redirect, which would require those short notice taskings. In any case, if we get those short notice taskings, our team jumps on it as soon as possible to action that. Our goal is to give the airmen as much notification as possible, albeit many times we know that's not as much as we would prefer or the airmen would prefer.
And then you go back to, you know, we talked earlier about the mobility bag and having those kind of things. I'll go back to after 9/11, maybe dating myself a little bit. But we had folks going out the door inside of 72 hours. And you have to grab that kit so that you have something to at least initiate ops where you're at and be able to take care of yourself when we're there. So those things are important. But I'll tell you that if you are one of those airmen who received the last minute notification, talk to your supervisor, talk to your first sergeant, get with your SEL. Let's make sure that if there are any kind of family challenges or things like that, questions, concerns, we're able to address those right up front. Your leadership there is to help you. And then there's a lot of other sources out there. Military and Family Readiness Center and Military OneSource are just good starting points. And make sure your family's aware of how to get in touch with those sources as well once you're out the door.
Thank you, Mike, Chief, Lud. Please join us for our next podcast when we'll discuss the Air Force fitness standards, another readiness matter. If you have questions or issues you would like to address, look for our contact information in the comments from your Air Force's Personnel Center, where our mission is people first. I'm General O'Donnell. Thank you for listening.
We hope you found this episode informative and helpful in taking charge of your career. Be sure to subscribe on Divots and visit our AFPC website for more resources. Have a question or topic suggestion? Reach out to us. Links to the sites and services presented in this episode of Personnel Matters, along with our website and email address, are on the podcast page. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.